Now, just for a warning, once again, as stated in the beginning of the message, I'm going to remind you this message is a message with some pretty heavy content that is not appropriate for young ears. So, if you do have young ones about, once again, this is a reminder to be listening either to this message in private or get the young ones out of sound range, please. Okay, now here comes another little text a lot of us may be familiar with. It's about if you're going to keep the whole law but offending in one point, being guilty of it all. That's found in a very familiar passage that's found in James chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 12.
If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty.
Ooh-wee, you're going to think I'm Jesus, taking on the money changers with my gospel whip on this one. Yep, Dr. Broadbottom at Baylor University, and all you students of him at Baylor University, worshiping Baal. Time to get some more wounds, because here come I with the gospel whip. Here I come. Hopefully, you better have some heavy-duty clothes on, because you're going to get it. You see that? It starts out. If you love your neighbor as yourself, yeah, you're doing okay. You think, well, if I love my next door neighbor, I'm doing okay. No, 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 no. You're just doing okay. See, that's what the Jews thought. But James said, you ain't even cut, you just barely scratched, you know, just barely scratched the surface. You just barely scratched the surface. You know, you just barely scratched it. You haven't even come close, pal. Now, you want to know why I say that? Get ready to get whipped. Very next verse, it cracks you. But if you be, but if you have respect, if you be a respecter of persons. Now, what does that mean? Had you read earlier in the chapter, it tells you what it means to be a respecter of persons. A respecter of persons is, have you had somebody walk into your little club, your church, and you had on the suit that cost maybe $40,000 for one sleeve, the shoes that cost $30,000 for one shoe, drove in a Cadillac that cost $80,000 for one tire. And you told him, hey, come on, brother, sit on up here. And it didn't matter if the man was living in every kind of sin there was. It didn't matter what kind of lifestyle he lived, but come on over here, brother, sit right down. And you gave him all the accolades and all the praise, everything right from the pulpit, and talked how good he was. Why? Because he put big money and big checks in your offering basket. But then when the poor guy came in, wrinkled suit, maybe not even a suit, maybe didn't smell so good, Why? Because he was out soul winning, busting his neck for Jesus in the hot sun for about 8 hours, walks into your church, and all he wanted to do was turn on a switch or two, do whatever he can for the Lord, and you tell him, no, we don't want you to do anything. You go sit in that back pew over there. Huh? Dr. Broadbottom? Huh? And none of the people in your church even go out of their way to even say boo to him or her. Huh? You're a respecter of persons. The Bible says you commit, then you are a respecter of persons and you commit sin. I'll say it again. You commit sin. And you're a transgressor. Transgressor of the law. Furthermore, he goes down on there a little further and he says, now, you may say, well, I never committed adultery, which is sex out of a side of my marriage. Well, pal, you ever hold a grudge? Huh? Ever hold a grudge? Bible says, Jesus said, if you hold anger in your heart, it's just as bad as if you took a knife and killed a man. It's equal to murder. And the Bible says, if you don't commit adultery, but you kill, you're a transgressor. You can't be guiltless if you don't keep all the commandments. And remember, we just pointed out, if you're a respecter of persons, you broke some of the commandments. And you, what? Jesus said, you didn't keep the royal law anyway. Because the royal law was to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, Matthew 25:40, whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren. These my brethren, you've done unto me. You didn't keep the royal law. You are a transgressor. Oops. So read it and weep. Okay, now. Here comes a text that a lot of preachers, etc., they like to use in talking about obeying them that have the rule over you. And we're going to find out if it has anything to do with husbands or wives, and if it has any bearing on how we're supposed to treat each other in the family context, okay? And especially in this relationship of being married. So let's see what it has to say first. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 14.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
Dr. Broadbottom, sometimes I wonder how you ever got a doctorate. You know, I really wonder, where did you get it? Maybe because you got somebody to help you. And I know because you couldn't have had enough brains yourself to operate a computer even. You probably had someone help you forge the document on a computer. And I'm surprised you even had enough brains to sign your own signature. Okay? They probably did the signature for you because they had to do it and make it look like they were the doctorate and made it off like you had the brains. Well, you sure enough don't. There's not one word in there about the word husbands. Not one word about husband, husbands, wife, wives, or wife. The only thing it ever says anything about anything, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, talking about the Ten Commandments. And thou shalt not covet. Okay? These are the repeating of the Ten Commandments. Duh! Get it! All you got to do is read it carefully. It says very carefully, this is about rulers. We're talking about people like your president, your governors, your congresspeople. We're talking about people in authority. We're not talking about husbands and wives over kids. So why are you using this to use this to preach at kids? To say, well, this is about husbands and wives, and this can be used to talk about a husband to his wife. You're not even in context. Not one word in here that could be used for husbands for wives, except for the fact that thou shalt not commit adultery is in here, okay? About the Ten Commandments. I mean, get a life, you know? You need to really learn how to read your Bible. You really, really need to get over it and learn how to read your Bible.
Okay, now, a while back, I mentioned a preacher who said, and I quote,
well, you know, if I should ever smoke, and while I'm smoking, you know, it won't send me to hell, but, you know, it'll get me to heaven a lot faster.
And I mentioned how, well, you know, he's talking out of both sides of the mouth. And he was in reference to some scriptures about Jesus and how he was talking about what goes into and comes out of the mouth. Well, there are two comparative texts that talk about that very thing
because Jesus is talking about the traditions of the elders. Well, let's take a look at those two texts. The first is found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20.
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man.
Okay, our next comparative text about this issue about what goes into and comes out of the mouth is found in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23.
Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. And many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him. Those are they that defile the man.
If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man.
Do you catch it? Here he says to these guys, Look here. You guys are so worried about your pots and your cups and all of that. You nitpickers. Now, wait a minute. I'm not against a good clean pot. Now, come on. I would not want a pot that you just changed your motor oil in. Come on. Get real. I'll admit that. I wouldn't want you to give me a pot that you just changed your motor oil in. I'll admit that. But come on. Jesus is saying, when you nitpick over a little speck of dirt on your hand, come on, everybody knows that you eat over 10 tons of dirt a day anyway. You don't believe me, do you? Okay, wait a minute. Now, where is your house? Where is your house located? Over the top of the blocks in the basement, right? Well, then, excuse me. Then when you think about it, it's over 10 tons of dirt. It is. It's over 10 tons of dirt. So you eat over 10 tons of dirt every day. So I'm not saying that you should leave a pile of dirt and eat a bunch of motor oil. But I'm saying to worry over every little nitpicking piece of dirt on your hand. That's what Jesus is saying. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be clean. But I am saying when you worry about it, when you get obsessive compulsive, that's what Jesus is pointing out. And when you make that tradition to the point where you have to make it necessary for salvation is what he's saying. That is the point here that Jesus is making. What he's pointing out. Now, I'm going to get a little graphic, and that's the point of the warning at the beginning of every disc. So hopefully you ain't got the little ones around. Listen to what it says here. He said, what goes into your mouth goes down your esophagus, into your stomach, through your intestines, and comes out your bowels, and goes into the toilet, okay, in modern terms. Basically, it's going to go into the toilet either as bowel, or more graphically, it may come out as gas, bowel gas, a big fat fart, okay? Comes out into the draft in a fart, okay? So what's the difference? It's only going to stink either way. Yours stink just as much as mine, is what Jesus said. That ain't going to get you into heaven or hell either way. What's going to get you into heaven or hell isn't what comes into your mouth. It's what comes out. Why? Because it proceeds out of your heart. The adultery, the murder. Think about it. When you hold hatred in your heart, you hold a grudge. It's like you killed that man. Amen. That's what defiles. That's what makes you sinful. That's the sin in your heart. Amen. 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 Okay, now our next point that I'd like to make is about those who want to put a burden or yoke upon those disciples, or in this case, the Christians who are believing in Jesus. See, in the New Testament, that's exactly what happened way back when. And I'll explain that as we get into this. There are two comparative scriptures that deal with this. Now, the first one, obviously, is when the problem first began. And the second is when, the first is when it first began and they wrote some letters to deal with the problem. The second is when the
when it was all completed and they had already dealt with the problem and they were just referring to what they had done and it had been already done with. Now, the first one is found in Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 29. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 29. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 29.
And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, Ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well.
Okay. Now, our second reference about this issue, about those who want to put a burden or yoke on the neck of the disciples, or in this case, our modern-day Christians, where in this case, in the book of the Bible, the book of Acts, it's still in the same book, it's where, like I said, the problem had already been solved in the previous text, and now they're just referring back to the solution, which they had already found, and now they're just saying this is, they're repeating what they had already said.
This is found in Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 30. Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 30. Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 30.
And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them, and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads. And all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut.
Ooh-wee. You catch that? I hope so. Some people just love to put rules on you. Rules and regulations. And they're still doing it today. See, a good friend of mine is preaching a message called The Hebrew Roots. It's about the Hebrew Roots Doctrine. And he's talking about how that the Hebrew Roots Doctrine, how that the church is trying to infiltrate and say, well, we need to do this Hebrew Roots thing and bring ourselves back to the old Hebrew roots. But there's a lot of occultic stuff into that. Now, I'm not against Jewish traditions, okay? But that doesn't mean I have to be Jewish to be saved. But that's what these people were saying. You notice, these were Pharisees, so fair, you see. And they were telling these Gentile, notice the word, Gentile believers, that they had to be basically Jewish in order to be saved. They had to follow the law of Moses. And that's what people are saying even today. They're saying you have to, what? What? Oh, well, you have to be, quote, as we have already seen, be, quote, under the law. If you are a woman, and if you get divorced, you have to be, quote, under the law, unquote. If you get divorced, you have to stay under the law, stay single, because what, your husband divorced you, and you got to stay single. Or if you're a man and your wife divorced you, well, you're still married to her, technically, even though she may have been the one committed adultery, and you're the innocent party. Excuse me, but that's not the way the Bible said it. And furthermore, we are going to find out later in the study, very soon, the Bible says they're not under bondage in such cases. Not under bondage in such cases. They are free to marry who they will.
But the problem is, you want them under the law. Furthermore, there are verses that prove that when we get into it, will blow your mind, that shows even in the law, and furthermore, Jesus proves that in the so-called law that you love to read about, that Jesus himself talked about more than one companion when it was necessary. So for you law-abiding nitpickers, hold on to your seat. That's if you got the guts. Now, I am not promoting in this message, and I want you to get this plain, I am not promoting that every person, every male should have 20 wives, nor am I promoting every woman should have 20 men. No, I want you to hear the whole thing through. If that's what you think, then you need to listen to the whole message and get the whole context, because that's not what I'm promoting. I am promoting what the Bible says. I am promoting this. I am promoting what Jesus said that, and what the apostle said, that we are not under bondage. We are free in Jesus. And what did he say in this text? What did the apostle say? That the Gentile believers were told there were certain things they were not supposed to do while there were certain things they were supposed to do. A, not to abstain from meats offered to what? Idols. Not abstain from all meats, not become vegetarians, but abstain from meats offered to idols, meaning to Buddha, Muhammad, and all that other bunk. Krishna and all that. You're supposed to abstain from those meats. You're supposed to abstain from blood, things strangled. And what? Fornication. Well, what is fornication? Well, we already learned. But since you guys are so hard-headed and like a brick, let me refresh your memory. It is not the little boy who is, quote, unmarried, unquote, and the little girl who is, quote, unmarried, unquote, and they get together and have a relationship. That is not that. It is one person who is, quote, married, unquote, that gets with somebody who is unmarried or who may also be married, quote, unquote, that are not married together. Got it? That is fornication. Because fornication and adultery are the same thing.
All right. Now, for all you students that have been studying under Dr. Broad Bottom, how would you like to get away from all of that and finally, after all this time, would you finally like to just break free? I mean, really break free. You know, Dr. Broad Bottom, of course. Nothing more than a Jim Jones figure anyway. Who'll lead you to your own destruction? How about instead getting some real freedom? How about some freedom in Jesus? That's right. You want real freedom. I'm not talking about the freedom in the American flag, although we get so-called freedom in America. But even then, that ain't true freedom. How about freedom in Jesus Christ, where you only can get the true freedom? Well, let's find out about that true freedom. That freedom is found in this text, John chapter 8, verses 30 through 59. John chapter 8, verses 30 through 59. John chapter 8, verses 30 through 59.
As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Well, do you see the freedom you can have in Jesus? See, it goes like this. See, Jesus didn't go to the Romans. Jesus didn't go to the Samaritans, although, as we already saw, he did visit a Samaritan at the well. He did live around and did have contact with Romans, as you know. Those who know their Bible do know that. But who was he speaking to here? The Jews. He was in their temple. And what does he say to them? He is talking to them and tells them. Now, who is Jesus, first of all? We need to understand that. Jesus is a Jew himself. And he's talking to the Jews. He is one of them. And these guys are acting like they don't even accept him. I know the feeling. We're talking an exact parallel here. My wife said, most likely, I'm probably going to have the same, and I already know that before this message even gets finished, even gets published, before anybody listens to it, I know exactly what they're going to say. Yeah. Jesus and me are going to be exactly alike in this feeling. People are going to say, who are you? Why are you telling this stuff? We don't want to believe you. Why? Because Jesus was trying to get them out from under all this tradition and stuff. And look, you're caught up in all these rules, when all there is you could be free. All you have to do is listen. Look, Moses, he said, look, Moses wrote of me. Jesus said, if you believed Moses' writings, you'd believe my words, because he wrote of me, is what Jesus said. And he's saying here, look, Moses wrote of me, and before Moses and Abraham was, I am. He said, look, I was there. And if you had believed them, you would have believed in me, because I was right there. These guys wouldn't even accept the freedom he was offering. What he was saying is all of those rules and regulations they had been following was leading up to Jesus himself. And if they had read their Old Testament scriptures, they would have realized that the answer to all those Old Testament rules was standing right in front of them. But they weren't. They had their eyes closed. They were blinded. Well, the same thing. All of these learned so-called Bible scholars, because the book is so big, the book is so vast, and for so many years, obviously, they didn't have computers. They didn't have internet. They didn't have all that. And so the thing is so big. And even today, here's what's so sad. The thing is so big. They got these Strong's concordances and everything. And people didn't think to do just what I have done, even in this message. What did they do? They didn't think to say, okay, let's use a little wisdom. Take one word out of the Bible, push it together, study it out, and say, you know, does this really mean what I've been taught? And then do that for the next subject. And the next subject, and the next subject, and they would find a lot of the things they were taught doesn't mean most likely what they were taught. They'd probably find a lot of freedom in the Lord. See, what has happened is the church has put so many rules and regulations, as we just studied, a burden, yoke, on. They've taken, see what happened. We got to remember what happened. Back in the New Testament, they were just new Jewish believers, Jewish men that had gotten saved. And then Peter went around. He was called, and Paul was called, to go to Gentiles. That's you and me, people that were, quote, non-Jewish, not Jewish, unquote. Meaning, we were not Jews. And thus, you know, like Americans, French, whatever, we were not Jews. We weren't born in Israel. And thus, these men came to these other people, like the Romans, the Greeks, whatever, and these guys were starting to get saved. And they said, wait a minute. Now, these guys ain't going to be, they're not, these guys that were getting saved, they weren't willing to jump and bow and change their whole lifestyle to become Jewish. Just because they got saved. That's like just because a person who was a Catholic all of a sudden joins the Baptist church doesn't mean he has to do everything the Baptists do. I mean, it's crazy. Or just because you're a Russian and you move to America doesn't mean you have to do everything the Americans do. I mean, you're always going to have a Russian accent. It might be a smart idea to learn the English language so you can communicate. But it doesn't mean you have to change your lifestyle. You may still do Russian things within your home. You may still have your Russian dress, your Russian hats, even Russian cups in your cupboard. But that doesn't mean you don't, and you may even on occasion speak Russian. But that doesn't stop you, but it's at least wise to speak Russian outside your home. Why? Because you're going to need to communicate with the other Americans. What is my point? These Greeks, Romans, and stuff that were being saved, getting right with God, these people came along and says, well, these Jewish believers said, well, they need to get circumcised. They need to follow the Jewish law, the Old Testament. They got to follow the law of Moses. They got to follow all these 600 and some odd rules. We got to stick them under the Old Testament law, the tradition of the elders. Oh, poppycock. You know what? Dear brother is putting together a series. Probably get done by the end of the time this message is done. It's called the Hebrew Roots series. Not a bad series to check out. Talks about how wicked that is in that movement. How there is a movement afoot where basically, whether you're English or not, these churches are trying to get you to go back to the Hebrew roots. Go back to, well, you should believe as a Christian, believe in the Hebrew way, and you got to say Jesus' name as Yeshua. And say that's the only way to speak God's name or else you're in sin and blah, blah, blah. But really, there's an occultic side to that. And if you don't watch it, it's occultic. But the whole point is, what is my point? If you want to know more about the Hebrew roots, you need to check out that message because there's a lot to it and I ain't got time for that. This message is long enough as it is. Okay? The point that I'm getting to here is, these guys were not getting the freedom they needed. And Jesus said, you need freedom, you need it in me. And guess what? That's the same thing here. I know that in this message, there are people that, what did they do? You go look at the beginning of the message. Go back to disc one when you get a chance again. Review it. It said, disc one of this, just about marriage alone. Look at what they did. Remember what I said, at the beginning. The historical. See, we as Christians started. God gave us some rules and stuff about marriage. We knew what they were. But then, because we didn't have the whole, we couldn't understand at first, obviously, we didn't have the whole Bible. So we only knew in part. And because we didn't know the whole thing, we didn't know the whole story, we formulated our own theories as to what he meant. And then what happened? things got messed up, and then the camera got out of focus, out of balance. And then we started to influence history and culture. And that history and culture then influenced the psycho and social aspects of life. See, we, as the religious part, influenced the psychosocial, and that influenced history. And in history, then, influenced us. Why? Because we're the ones influencing the whole thing. And it just kept going down and down, and it kept getting more and more out of whack. But we don't like to think that we influenced anything. Oh, well, no. Wait a minute. We started the ball of wax. If we had looked at our Bibles and read it for really what God meant it to be, instead of trying to interpret what God said but took him at his word, we would have never got this thing out of whack. And now that somebody's going to stand up and tell the truth, namely me, yes, I am one of you. I am a Christian. Just like Jesus, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm one of you. Just like Jesus was a Jew, the Jews didn't believe him, and they wanted to stone his butt. They wanted to rock his butt to sleep. They didn't want to accept him and his message. Nobody, like my wife said, no one's going to want to accept me. They're going to think I'm a cult. But somebody's got to stand up and tell the truth. Why? It's not my fault that you guys got so far out of whack, and it's just the same as it was with Jesus. It's because they were so far out of whack. Somebody had to get up and say the truth, and it was Jesus himself. And you know what? They didn't listen when what? God himself, that's who Jesus was. He said, before Moses was, I am. Now, who was I am? Go back to the burning bush. God is in the burning bush. God is speaking to Moses. It is God himself. And Moses said to God, well, if I go to thy people, talking to God, and tell them that I'm coming in your name, who shall I say? And he says, I am that I am. Well, and here Jesus said, before Moses was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, so, who's Jesus saying he was? He said, I'm God. Hello, JW. Stick that in your exhaust pipe and smoke it a while. Amen. So, Jesus is saying here, very clearly, Jesus is saying very clearly, right here, he says, he is God. And now, wait a minute, if they won't accept God, they won't accept God's word for it, well, I certainly am not God. I'll say that again, just so that you get that through your thick skulls. I certainly am not God. I am a sinner like any of you. I am just a sinner saved by grace. I am certainly not God. Certainly not God. If I am just a sinner saved by grace, now, if they won't accept Jesus, who is God, and they're ready to stone his hide, what are you going to do with me? I already know what you're going to do with me. If they won't accept Christ, who is God, and they refused his message, and they thought he was a devil, and he was telling the truth, just like they did all the rest of the prophets, I know what you're going to do with me and my message. Don't believe me? Prove me wrong. Otherwise, you'll prove me right by shutting off the message. Come on, snobs. Go ahead and turn it off, and I know I'm right. Amen. 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 Ooh-wee. We're going to kind of recognize this book and maybe even the chapter. Now, earlier, you'll remember that we kind of did a little bit, we were into about this issue of about fornication. And you remember I mentioned Paul kind of getting on the church at Corinth and about the guy who was messing with his father's wife in chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Then in chapter 6, we find that he tells him, look, I mean, chapter 5, they tell him, hey, now, look, you need to get him out of here. Chapter 6, look, excuse me, but you need to get the bozo out. You know, look, I shouldn't say get the bozo out, but excuse me, but, you know, fornication basically is done between, when fornication is done, it's done between you, your body. You know, other sins are between you and somebody else. You know, outside the body, while fornication is done to your own body. Okay? And then I also was talking about gluttony and a couple other sins that are just like that. Now, you know what? And then I jumped over to how that wasn't fixed in 2 Corinthians. Well, did you know Paul gave a solution even before 2 Corinthians? Can you imagine this? Goes to show you how stubborn this church was. He even gave them a solution how to avoid it. He says, look, I'll give you the answer to the problem, guys. You're so goofball. I'll tell you how to avoid fornication. He tells them how to avoid it, how to solve the problem. Okay. Want to know the answer? Okay, let's give you the answer and let's talk about it. Okay. Because there's a whole chapter on this stuff. It talks real good stuff. In fact, most people are going to be familiar with it. Why? Because it was right after chapter 6 where he told him about the sin being in the body. Okay? Why? It's the very next chapter. Chapter 7 tells us how to avoid fornication. In fact, it's a very good chapter about marriage. In fact, to avoid fornication is found in the first two verses. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 2.
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband.
Well, now, I want you to keep your hand right there in your place right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because we're going to work our way through this chapter. In fact, we'll be doing the whole chapter. But now, I first want you to notice these first two verses. You notice what he said? Obviously, the Corinthian church had written Paul asking about, you know, the same basic question that the apostles asked Jesus about, about marriage and, you know, if the situation isn't right about divorce or whatever, you know, then maybe it's not a good idea. And Paul's writing back, now, wait a minute, obviously, I'll put it in my own modern English, you know, wait a minute, wait. If they can accept it, they can accept it. But if they can't, then that's between them and God. Not everybody is meant for what I'm about to say. And if you read down this chapter, you'll see what I mean. So basically, I'm putting it in simple English, modern English. If the shoe fits, wear it, chump. Now, do you understand that? If the shoe fits, wear it. That's in modern English, okay? What he's saying is this ain't meant for everybody. Just like my little warning at the beginning of each disc is trying to tell you, these discs aren't meant for everybody in the family. They're not meant for a four-year-old. They're meant for people that are meant for, like adults or whatever. It's meant for people that can handle the content. Got it? Well, obviously, Paul was saying, look, this information is meant for those who it's meant for. It's not meant for everybody. And then he goes and he says, now, what? To avoid fornication. Now, what is fornication? It isn't the little boy and the young teenage boy and the young teenage girl, both of which are, quote, not married, unquote. No. Now, wait a minute. Locally, of course, I do it with teaching Braille, but I am what they call an ABLE, Adult Basic Literacy Education. They used to call us literacy volunteers here, but they changed it to ABLE, but the same meaning. We teach people to read, okay? How to take letters and turn them into words. Well, obviously, some of you need to learn how to read. Two chapters ago, from chapter 7, in the same book, explained what fornication was. There's a young man. And he was messing with his father's W-I-F-E, wife. Now, in order for her to be a wife, she must be, guess, married. Get it? She wasn't single. She wasn't single, she wasn't divorced, she wasn't on her own, she wasn't widowed, she was married. What's worse is she was his mama. That makes it pretty plain. So even what Paul continues in this verse did not apply to this young man. It says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman hath her own husband. Now, obviously, this young man could not have had his mama for his wife, and she could not have had her for his husband. Had her for her husband. Okay? That is what we are saying. See, that is what fornication is. It's sex outside of a marriage. That's what fornication is. That's what we have been saying through all these discs so far. That is what we have noticed. So, as long as we get that through our skulls straight so far, we will understand this issue better. Amen. Amen. Amen.